Hi again, everyone. Greg Gattuso with you here on another episode of the Countdown to the Reunion podcast. In just a moment, I'm going to have an interview with King Fojanikon, who could be the next celebrity chef from New York. But first, here's some news. The early bird rate of $125 has been extended, and it will end on midnight, July 15. So if you have not purchased a ticket yet to the reunion, you can do so at quite a good discount up until midnight, July 15. Well, I spoke to King Fojanikon, who was on Rocco's Dinner Party on the Bravo Network last week. And I started off by asking him what he's been up to for the last 25 or so years.
Last 25 years, yep. A lot of different things. I don't know, when I left science, I got into... I actually started off as a music major over at SUNY Purchase and went from music to psychology, a little bit of energy management, some engineering, and then I wound up into cooking. I got into cooking. And I've been doing the cooking thing for about the last 12, 15 years. I went to culinary school upstate in CIA, Culinary Institute of America. And, yeah, worked at a few restaurants here in the city in California. And then I opened up my first place 8 years ago on the Lower East Side, Kuma Inn.
And now you have another one, too, you said?
Yes, about a year and a half ago, we opened another location, which is called Umi Nam, and we opened that one in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn, right on DeKalb Avenue.
And what was it about cooking that got you so hooked?
Well, you know, I love to eat, and I just wanted to find out more and more about it. I used to bartend also on the side. That was kind of like my side gig. Mm-hmm. And the places I bartended, a lot of them served food. There was a kitchen. And one of the places I worked, I asked the chef if I could work in his kitchen, even though I had no experience. And he was really cool, and he let me in there. And I just fell in love with it, just working with food, you know, eating food, tasting food. And then when, you know, you make good food and you see someone eat it and enjoy it, it's to me, it's really rewarding.
And what was your specialty? Are you like, this is like pan-Asian kind of fusion thing?
Yeah, like a pan-Asian thing. You know, my background, my mom's from the Philippines, my dad's from Thailand. I was born here in New York. So the food really reflects all of that, Filipino, Thai, New York, you know, other Asian kind of influences from that area of the world. And so there's some Filipino dishes, some Thai dishes, and there's some dishes that are like a mix of the both and some other things.
Well, they must be thrilled to see all that experience coming together for you in the kitchen.
Yes, it's great.
Now, did they give you any tips of like any old family recipes or anything like that?
You know, what I do in the summer, usually like, you know, growing up, we'd go to the Philippines every summer, and I pretty much just eat my way around there. I have a lot of my cousins are there, and, you know, they know I'm a chef, so they take me around, and, you know, they take me to spots. They know what I like, because I'm always looking for the original way, like kind of like the classic way, the grandma's cooking kind of thing, you know.
Right.
I'm not looking for, like, new restaurants. I want to see how it's done the traditional style. And then, you know, what I do when I get back to New York, since a lot of these ingredients and things aren't available to us here that they have over there, I kind of adapt and kind of make up our version of it here.
Yeah. And it must be an incredibly hectic running one, not to mention two restaurants. How do you manage to do that?
Yeah, it was a little crazy. I thought that was hectic, and then we had a baby 8 months ago, and that kind of put things into a whole other perspective. But yeah, when I opened the first one, I you know, it's a lot of hours. I mean, that's where I met my wife. You know, you really don't get out of your restaurant that much. You get out at night when you close up, which is around 1 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And, you know, you go out, it's like your after work drinks, and you're talking about 1 o'clock in the morning, coming home 3 or 4 o'clock, and a lot of times those are not the people you want to bring home to mom. So, you know, I wound up meeting my wife. She was one of my customers at the first restaurant right when we opened. And, yeah, I mean, you know, I explained the whole thing to her. It's crazy hours, you know, holidays, all the days, like weekends, holidays, you're never around, you know.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's tough on your family. But it's something that if you really love, it's great. Like I just love the hospitality business and cooking and seeing people really happy with good food. And to me, that's what really matters.
Now, tell me about Rocco's Dinner Party and Bravo TV. How did you get involved with these guys?
Yeah, basically, I guess a mutual friend referred me to the show and sent an email and thought I'd be a good fit for the show. So I applied for the show, you know, did a screen test and cooking test and numerous interviews, and somebody liked me and they asked me to be on the show, which is great. It's a whole nother experience, you know. It's TV, the whole TV world thing, the entertainment world. It was fun taping it and fun watching it last night. The episode premiered. I don't want to give away, you know, the ending or anything, but it was a very exciting show. It was great filming it. You know, these days, you know, when you're a chef here in New York City, it's a big food scene here.
Oh, yeah.
And being a chef is not, these days, it doesn't mean just cooking in your kitchen. Now everybody's hooked up with, you know, with the media, with Facebook, Twitter.
Sure, yeah. You're almost a celebrity in your own kitchen. It's almost like your show. I mean, it is your show.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I tell our staff every night. It's like we're putting on a show. You know, the curtains go up at 6 p.m.
Right.
Our diners are coming through the door, and yeah, they do want to see a show. You know, these days it's not just about having a good meal. I mean, it is, but, you know, people come in with their cameras, with their video cameras.
Oh, yeah.
For a while in the beginning, I was a little hesitant on having, like, all these lights flashing. You know, people are trying to eat, but you can't stop it. It's like everybody these days is a foodie.
Well, yeah, everybody likes to take pictures of food now and put it on Facebook of what they're eating.
Yeah, they'll post it, and that's what people like these days. So that's, you know, we're going along with that, and I think just the most important part, as long as you keep the good food coming out and people are happy, that's really what matters the most, and the customers keep coming back. So
yeah,
that's how it's been going.
Now, are you the kind of chef who...
I'm sorry?
You know, I was going to ask, are you the kind of chef that comes out into the house? And...
Yeah, I come out and say hi to my guests. You know, both restaurants, we have an open kitchen, so when you come in, you can see me.
Okay.
And if I'm not in the kitchen, I'm usually walking around the dining room. Saying hi to everybody. I think it's part of the whole dining experience. You know,
right.
You want to speak to the person who made your food, and yeah, I like to learn about my guests as well. I've made a lot of good friendships over the years at the restaurants, meeting so many different people. Like I said, that's where I met my wife. So yeah, I think it's really important. It kind of just makes the whole evening that much more special.
Yeah.
You know, you're enjoying good food and meeting the person who made it for you, and then you get to meet the person on the other side who's eating it.
Well, you mentioned music before. Are you still playing your guitar?
I am. I'm still playing guitar. You know, I haven't done anything like professionally with it, but before, when I had my first restaurant, I'd get together with some guys and jam on weekends when I had more time. Now it's just really tough, so I have a couple of guitars here at home, and every now and then, when I have a few minutes, I'll pick it up and just kind of just jam out.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. You told me once you were going to play at the Apollo on Amateur Night. Is that correct?
I did, yeah. Oh, man, you got a great memory.
And now,
that was a long time ago. Yeah, at Science. I did. I played right when they, I think, yeah, we were still in Science, so that was like the mid-'80s, mid to late 80s. And actually, the guys that I played with, No, actually, all the members in the band were from science. They were all years ahead of us.
Oh yeah.
And our lead singer, his name was Charlie Brown, Charles Brown.
Okay.
So we call ourselves the Charlie Brown Band.
Uh huh.
And we actually got a spot on the Apollo because when we auditioned, they liked the group. There was Charlie Brown. They called him at the Apollo. They labeled him the Black Elvis. And then we had another guy on guitar. I was on guitar and a drummer, and it was just kind of like a rockabilly, kind of a rockabilly band.
Now what's that?
It was one of the first nights. It wasn't the first night they opened, but it was like really early in the beginning when they had just reopened the Apollo again.
Mm-hmm. And what's that like for a teenager? I mean, a high school student? Because I remember thinking that was a pretty cool gig. But the older I get, the more kind of amazed I am, you know, just to what was it like standing on that stage?
Oh, it was amazing. You know, back then, that was my thing back then, was really the music thing. On Sundays, we used to also play. There's a bar here also in the village called Nightingales. They're still around, but I don't think they do live bands anymore. I think it's changed. But back in the day, back then, they would let me in. They weren't checking IDs back then. They weren't as strict. And they would have open jams every Sunday, so uh-huh. Go over there. So that was fun, and that was kind of like my warm up to playing on the Apollo at the Apollo. And it was a great experience. It was like one of those once in a lifetime experiences. I remember getting out of a cab, you know, going there with our equipment, and then the limousine pulled up right next to us, and Andy Warhol got out. it was a big night. It was fun.
All right. Well. It was good catching up with you, and good luck with your TV career and your restaurants, both of them, and your baby, by the way. Congratulations!
Thank you, thanks, Greg. One thing, if you have this song or if you find it, I love it, and I think it's reminds me so much of science. But it's called I forgot the name of the group, but I think the song is called "The Dominatrix." Dominatrix Sleeps Tonight. I whenever I hear that, I still have it around somewhere, and. Reminds me of the times
Alright, cool. Alright, King, I had to look that one up, but here it is, and we'll see everybody next time on the Countdown to the Reunion podcast. So long.
dominatrix.